there. So, Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for what you're doing in the world. Lord, as we see this little video on Iran, or we hear that little testimony there from Cheryl, Lord, we give you thanks because the Word of God is not chained. It's not barred. But Lord, your Spirit is continuing to move and touch people's hearts. You're changing hearts. You're changing cultures. You're changing society. And Lord, may we all come to that point where we all bow our knee before you and confess and profess with all our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Father, we pray that as Pastor John brings forth this word today, Lord, that these words would challenge us, that we would be involved in the battle. Lord, we would not be on the sidelines, but we'd say, what can I do? Let me roll up my sleeves, Lord. Prepare me. Use me some way, somehow. But Father, we lift up Pastor John now as he brings forth these words. Anoint him and let the Spirit of God move through him. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was good, you know, seeing that little, that thing in Iran. It's amazing. I still think it's just amazing that how God can work any place, you know, not only in any nation, but in any heart. He worked in my heart, you know, and he worked in yours, somehow or other. He got through to us, and here we are today. I see we got our Texas contingent here today, huh? Good to see you guys. When I was growing up, my house was a real hub of activity. My dad, he used to work always at least 50 hours a week. He worked as a meat cutter for Kroger's. And he started there when he was 14. His dad died, and he basically took over paying for the house. And so he started at 14. He worked there for 48 years straight, one job, the only job he ever held in his whole life at Kroger's, and he retired at 62. In his spare time, he bought a little grocery store, a little meat market grocery store, and worked there also during that time for many years with him and my grandmother. And so he was gone from 6 in the morning till midnight every day, 362 days a year. My grandmother lived in our house, and she lived in a basement apartment. My dad built a complete apartment down there for her. After her husband, my dad's, you know, mom, my dad's father died, and he lived there when he was a child. But then when he got married, he had to find a place for her to live. So he took care of that. Then there was me living there at that house. I was the one who never quite understood the words "stay out of trouble." You know, I was the whirlwind of activity. You see all these old 8mm home movies, me running around like crazy and always getting into trouble and always doing things. And then I had three sisters, you know, and three girls living in a house. You know, that's a lot. And then my mother. And there was this little 4'10" woman who didn't know the meaning of the term "relax." She never stopped. She never slowed down. She was continually working around the house, always doing stuff. Always, I mean, she just never stopped. And she danced and sang all the time. She watched all the movie show or the music shows on TV. You know, back then there were quite a few different shows, and she listened to the radio. She always was singing along with them, and literally dancing around the house. She still dances around the house. So, and she bowled, she square danced, she did all kinds of things, and she even worked out. She worked out with Jack LaLanne on TV. Anybody remember that? So, you know, I mean, I'd come home and she'd be there doing exercises and you know, doing that kind of stuff. And she used all this energy that she had to, you know, to keep the house running and keep her family in tip-top shape. And even today, She's still alive. She's 86. She still cooks. She still cleans. She still gets on the treadmill. She still goes out for walks all the time. People see her all over town. She walks up to the library. She walks all over the place. And she does anything she can do to keep busy. She just can't stand sitting still. And now, why do I say all this? Why am I even talking about that? Well, I was thinking about this last night. And I was sort of realizing that in some ways it reminded me, you know, as my mom was taking care of her family and herself and her family was like her little community, her little body, you know, her little community that she was not only a part of, but where she knew that she had a role to play. And so it reminded me in many ways of how the Holy Spirit works in the body of Christ. That He's also working in this body. This is a community here of believers that God has put together, and this is His church, the body of Christ, we call it. And why do we call it the body? Because the Bible tells me so. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." In Colossians 1:18, it says, "Then He is the head of the body, the church." So we are, literally, according to God, we are the body of Christ. And we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit plays a role in everything all throughout this year. And in the body of Christ, here in this body, and in anywhere where the true body of Christ is, the Holy Spirit is there, working all the time, never stopping, always doing something, always, you know, working in our hearts, always doing this and doing that. And that's why it sort of reminded me of my mom. The body, I was thinking of the Holy Spirit, and I actually entitled this message, the Holy Spirit is a bodybuilder. And so that also got me to thinking about the gym. I go to the gym a couple times a week because I just enjoy going and working out a little bit and playing a little bit of racquetball. And I know it's good for our physical bodies to exercise, to keep, you know, our muscles a little bit toned up, and just to keep moving a little bit, keep the blood circulating, you know. And I see some of the guys that are in there. Some of these guys are monsters. I mean, they are true bodybuilders, you know, and they're there all the time working on their muscles, and, you know, you look at their body and there's nothing but pure muscle. And, you know, that's fine up to a point. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it actually tells us something. It says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See, working those muscles, building them up, it's good. It's important to keep our body in shape, but that doesn't have much value for the life to come. That's why we need to work on our spiritual body, on the spiritual aspect of our life, and also the body of Christ. We can't just focus on the physical body, the physical realm. We need to have our eyes and our ears open so that the Holy Spirit can lead us, so that He can guide us, so that He can direct us, so we can see into the spiritual side of things, and we can focus on God's work here on this earth, and mainly, as today I'm talking about, the body of Christ. Jesus is building His church here on this earth. That's right out of His mouth. He says, "I will build My church." So we know that Jesus is working. We know that it's His church. And we should know that if He's working, then He's building His church, then He's building it and doing it through the Holy Spirit. So this church and every Bible-believing, God-believing, Holy Spirit-led church is growing and being built by God. And it's, we got to remember, it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who is empowering us. He's the one who is equipping us to be this living, functioning body, part of this wonderful, amazing plan of God. And it truly is God's plan, the church. We need to recognize that the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit are inseparable. They work together. They must work together. You cannot have the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit. All you have then is a dead shell. The walking dead. James 2:26 tells us the body without the Spirit is dead. Now he's talking about our physical body, which without the Spirit, our body is dead. But in the same way, the body of Christ without the Spirit is dead. We have to remember that it's the Holy Spirit who has called us, who has gathered us in together, brought us together to become this body of Christ, this body of believers, what we call the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slave or free, old, young, man, woman, black, white, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of person we are. The Holy Spirit, it says we were all baptized, all of us baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to streams of living water. In John 7:38 and 39, he said, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So you see, God wants us to continually drink in this water, to be filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians 5:18 tells us, you know, that we're always supposed to be being filled on a continual basis, being filled with the Spirit, especially as we were relating to the body. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live, work, grow, and function together. Jesus wants all of us, with all our differences, with all of our uniqueness, to become His body on this earth, to represent Him, to be His ambassador, to, you know, to live and to work and for Him. He wants to build His body. He wants bodybuilders. He wants, even as the Holy Spirit is a bodybuilder, we are also to move in that direction, to become bodybuilders ourselves. In Acts 1:4-7, Jesus told His disciples, "Go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father promised you." You know, the one that He says, the one I told you about. And He told them, "In a few days you are going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit." That was the gift. And then in verse 1:8, it says, "Then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now here what He's talking about is getting this Holy Spirit power, being filled with the Spirit so we can be empowered, so we can do this work that He wants us to do, to be these witnesses so that we can go out and gather in with the Holy Spirit and bring into togetherness the church, to build this church. Acts 2:1-4 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that had separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, shortly after this, they encountered this, they received this new boldness that came from the Holy Spirit. And Peter, it tells us, full of the Holy Spirit, they went down into the courts, like into the center of town, into the marketplace, and it was filled with all kinds of people. Jews from all over had come there for the marketplace and, you know, and to be there for that weekend. And it says that Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, got up and began to speak. He actually gave the first Holy Spirit-led evangelistic message. And he told them, he gave them the whole litany of everything that had just happened, what came down. And he told them that they could be saved themselves. That they were all talking about these apostles, and they're all joking and laughing and talking and wondering, like, what's going on with these guys? They look like they're drunk, and they're, you know, everybody's wondering, why are they so full of life and joy? They must be blasted. And so he starts out by telling them, "What you see is not us drunk. We're filled with the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on and he starts to tell them all that happened. you know, with the crucifixion and all the different things that happened, and about how now they can also be saved and they can receive this same Holy Spirit if they repent and give their life to God. So because the Holy Spirit was there leading Peter as he talked, the Holy Spirit was also there bringing conviction to them and speaking to them. It says that they were cut to the heart. They just were taken aback. They were like, oh my gosh, what have we done? What can we do? What then should we do, brother? And he told them, repent and be saved. And so what happened was, it tells us that 3,000, it says, responded to the church, were added to the church that day. The church took off like wildfire then. And who was the one who was doing this? Was it all Peter? No. Was it the other apostles? No, it was the Holy Spirit that was working. They were doing their part, but it was the Holy Spirit. All throughout the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit, the bodybuilder, was at work. Over and over and over, we see all these different things that kept happening, telling us about what the Holy Spirit did. And how he was involved in every aspect of growing the church, building the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And if you know the Holy Spirit, everything he does is always to bring glory and honor to God, to Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus. He lives to do that, and he lives in us to do that. He operates in the church to do that. Acts 9:31 tells us, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened. There's that bodybuilder guy. He was strengthening them and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord. Jesus told us in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. Now, he's the master architect. He's the, you know, the coordinator. He's the general contractor. But the actual work is being done through the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is leading, working, and guiding us. So we're the ones that are actually out there laying the bricks. We're the ones that are pounding in the nails. We're the ones that are, you know, wheeling up the cement and the mortar. We're the ones that are doing the physical labor down here on this earth. And the Holy Spirit is the one saying, come on, go get that. Come on now, it's time to this. He's the one pulling out the orders. He's the one behind the scenes. And then the one who designs it all is Jesus. And this work is an ongoing project. It's still going on right now, right here today. God is building his church right now, right this moment, as he speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit is confirming his word in your heart, hopefully reminding you as I speak today even about your part in building the church, because each of you has a part. None of us are left out. None of us are immune. None of us have been abandoned. None of us are not needed or not wanted. God wants all of us to do our part. The Greek word for church is ecclesia. And what that means is called out ones. That's us. We are the called out ones. God has called us out of the darkness of this world that we live in, and called us into, it says, his wonderful light, his truth, his blessing. He's called us out of death, bondage, slavery, darkness, death, everything wrong. And he's bringing us into everything that's good. He wants the best for us. He loves us. And he wants us to fall in love with him and get involved in building the body of Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, God's special possession. That's you. I am God's special possession. And I don't just mean me. I mean each one of us can say that. I am God's special possession. Can you say that? I am God's special possession. You ever think of yourselves that way? That you're God's special possession? You're a chosen people. You are a holy, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare then the praises of Him who called you out, who called you to be the church. That's what the called out is. The called out ones, ecclesia, the church. So you're His special possession, called to be a church, called out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are a nation within a nation. We are a community of believers that have been called out of the world to become this community. We come from all over, all different walks of life. We gather together here to form a community of believers that God Himself calls the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And this is something very special. We need to understand the importance of the part that we play in this undertaking, in this corporate structure of this body, of the body of Christ and of this body. We need to see ourselves not just as an individual, but even though we are individuals and unique, but we also need to see ourselves as a part of the whole. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So you're a part of the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. All of the parts, all the many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, with the body of Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Romans 12:5 tells us that in Christ, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Imagine that. We all belong to one another. We don't like that. I'll tell you right now, almost everybody thinks like, I don't belong to anybody else. I'm my own person. I do what I want. I'm an individual. Nobody owns me. That's the way we like to think. That's this rugged individualism that we grew up with in America. It sort of sets the ground for an eventual destruction of the church. That rugged individualism. That's not our Constitution. Those guys did a great job with the Constitution. That's just this spirit of individualism. In some ways it's nice, in some ways it's good, because you know people will push on and they'll build things and do stuff like that, but God wants us to see ourselves as connected, interdependent, not dependent, but interdependent. We all need each other. Each member belongs to all the others. So if we're supposed to belong to all the others and then we refuse to participate in the body, or in a body, we are, in essence, then robbing the other members as well as ourselves. We're being robbed ourselves, because then we're not getting what God knows that we need, and we're not giving what God knows that we could give to others. See, He made each one of us to be a part of His body. He's given each one of us unique giftings and talents. You may not think that it's something that's bodybuilding. Cheryl didn't think sewing was bodybuilding. And yet God says, I can use you to build my body. Ricardo didn't think making guacamole was bodybuilding. But it is. Mike didn't think playing guitar or filling in on bass was bodybuilding, but it is. Mark and Sandy didn't think picking up pop and snacks was bodybuilding, but it is. I mean, all these different things we would think like, well, what's that? Because we each do these little parts that we're called to do, the little things that we do or that we've done. We just say, yeah, I can do that. Sure, I'll do that. We just think it's like just a job. And in some ways, yeah, it is just a job. But it's just a job that helps to build the body because we each have our part to play in it. And we're all members together. We belong to one another. The truth is we really do need one another. Apart from the body, we will never grow as God intended us to grow. Think about that. Apart from the body, we will never be able to fulfill our true purpose in life, the purpose that God designed us for, because He designed us to work in conjunction with the body. Apart from the body, we really can't please God. Because those who are led by the Spirit are the ones that please God, and the Spirit will always lead us to function and work together as a body. And so if we neglect the body, if we refuse to be a part of the body of Christ, we're disobeying the leading of the Spirit, and we're not pleasing God. Apart from the body, we will slowly decay. Just like if I cut off this hand, and I leave it here on the front pew, and I come back next week, I'll have a rough week. And I wouldn't be able to play worship. I wouldn't be able to play guitar next week because I'd be missing my hand. Wouldn't be able to, I'd be hard brushing my teeth. You know, it would be hard showering. It'd be hard doing all kinds of things all throughout the week. I would be limited because a piece of my body was gone. And then later on, I recognize, oh, yeah, that's my hand. It's starting to turn dark and gray and it's shriveling up. And the next week it'd be worse. Start to smell. And it would be destined for the fire. Not a pleasant picture, is it? That's what happens. And this is all explained. I don't have time to get into all this, but it actually talks about those kind of things in the Bible. God isn't looking for lone rangers. He's looking for bodybuilders. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 2 through 11, I'm not going to read all of it, I'm just going to read a couple scriptures from there. Paul is speaking about a special revelation that God gave him concerning the church. And he said, he calls it the mystery made known to me by revelation. And he tells us this mystery, he says, that has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 3, and now verse 6 it says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to tell us that God's intention was that now through the church, this was the overriding intention through here, that now through the church, after he first speaks about that, about this mystery that's been revealed and this revelation he got and how the Holy Spirit all brought it all out and showed him, and he says that now this is the mystery that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, the authorities, and heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that the church was part of God's plan since before the earth began. It was his eternal purpose. And the church will reveal then to all creation this unsurpassing wisdom of God. It will show all creation, all, you know, heaven and earth will see God's wisdom, his authoritative, unsurpassing, manifold wisdom will be revealed through the church. So therefore, our role, our commitment, the part that we play in the church is very important to God. It's very important to his plans. And of course, the only way we're going to be able to do this and do it right is as we are led by, guess who? The Holy Spirit. Because if we try to do it on our own, we're just playing games. And to God, being part of his body is not a game. It's not a part-time job. It's not a hobby. This is part of God's eternal purpose. This is part of his master plan. This is something that his son died for. This is what Jesus came to. He said, I will build my church. So the way God looks at it, our joining, our part of being a part of his church, of being a part of the body of Christ, should be the essence of life. Well, did we ever think of it that strongly? God has always wanted a people from day one. He's always wanted a people he could call his own. And now he's got this special possession. You. His church. So this is how we please God. By not doing our own thing, by not loving the world, not by being all involved in everything else but the church, but instead by committing ourselves to the body of Christ, to the other believers, to being a part of what God is doing here on earth, and realizing that we do belong to one another, that we do have a special relationship, a special obligation, a special commitment, it should be a special love towards one another. We've been called to serve one another in love, according to Galatians 5:3. To love one another, John 13:34. I'm just going to read a few real quick. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. To honor one another, Romans 12:10 also. To live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. To forgive one another, Ephesians 4:32. To be compassionate with one another, Ephesians 4:32 also. To submit to one another, 5:21 Ephesians. To encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And Hebrews 10:24, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And I'm going to stop there and reading those, because I could go on and on and on. And all these things are designed to happen within relationships. They can't happen out on the streets. They don't happen out in the world, maybe randomly. But there is a place that God designed where all these things can happen on a regular basis. And it's called the church. His body. There are so many ways that we can love one another, that we can serve one another, that we can work and function together. And God's church, his body, is the vehicle where we can all drive together to that place where God is bringing us, towards the mark of our high calling. Ephesians 4:3 tells us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, God not only wants us to be here, but He wants us to be united. All these things that I read, these and many, many more, are part of what helps us to function together in unity. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So when you say every effort, that doesn't mean just hey, give it a shot every once in a while. It means that this should be a focus in our life, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, there it is again. It's the Holy Spirit that is over, like an umbrella over the church, helping to keep things together. It's like mom and dad at home trying to keep the kids from killing each other. You know, if you're a mom and dad and you got more than one kid, there's been at least one time and probably thousands where you saw them at each other's throat just about. And you had to step in and say, come on now, stop that fighting. Now you tell your brother, tell your sister, you're sorry. You tell them, you forgive them. You know, you work together, you share, you learn how to share, you know. I mean, all these things we tell them. And the Holy Spirit's doing the same thing right here. If we hear Him, stop that fighting. Stop that back-talking. Learn how to share. Same thing. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you know what it is? It's flesh against flesh. And I'll tell you what. Living in the flesh, flesh against flesh, that's what's like out in the world. And there's sometimes a facade of peace, but there's a lot of tension out there. A lot of hypocrisy, a lot of backbiting, a lot of all kinds of things that aren't pleasant. And you know what? Yes, some of that does come into the church too, because we are people. But the difference is, the Holy Spirit is there to say, hey, stop that. And we have to listen and be led by the Spirit to work those things out here so that the church can grow, so that the church can move along together, rushing along together. Homothumadon. It's a Greek word, means rushing along together, working together, being the body of Christ, doing the work of God in this world. That's the world we've been called out of. We've been called out of that world into this world, to His wonderful light. God is transforming us. He's renewing our minds. He's teaching us what it means to be a Christian, how to love, how to live together, how to forgive, how to share, how to encourage, how to strengthen, how to lift up, how to humble ourselves. That's what God's teaching us. And we need others around us so that we can learn those things. Because if we need to learn patience, we need somebody to hold us up. So we can be sitting there going, when's it? And then we say, oh yeah, I gotta learn patience. How do we learn forgiveness? By somebody doing us wrong. How do we learn to share? By giving when we have something and seeing that somebody else doesn't. We can learn all these different things. How do we learn to serve? By offering our services when there's a need. We learn these things in the body. This mysterious body of believers that God has somehow brought together, and somehow in the midst of this, we learn to overcome our flesh and we learn to love God and love one another. And the way this happens is through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a bodybuilder. We need one another. God, our Creator, made us this way. He made us to not be able to function alone. You know, we all like to have occasional time alone, but nobody really wants to be alone to the point where we're lonely. We value relationships. We value friendships. And God's given us a place of safety, a community of like-minded people where we can nurture relationships. Now, you're not going to be friends with everybody because, for one thing, there's too many everybodies. For another thing, we all have different personalities, and you're going to click with some people and not with others. Some people are too busy. Some people are not. Some people are involved in this thing. Some people are involved in another thing. So there's a variety of things for a purpose so that there is something for everyone. I guarantee you, within the body of Christ, there are some who you could relate to, and there will be others who you don't. That doesn't mean that's a problem. It just means we have to learn to fit in where God wants us to fit in. Find our niche. Reach out. Reach out and serve. Reach out and bless. Reach out and love. Reach out to be loved. Allow others in to love you sometimes. We are incomplete in ourselves. We need to belong. This is God's word. There was I know I shared this story years ago. I think it's been years. There was a pastor who was missing one of the people in his church, somebody who had been a part of the church for a long time, and he missed him. You know, he says, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. So we called him up, invited him on over. And the guy, you know, he came over to his house, and they were sitting in the living room. And the pastor must have been like me because he was building a fire, you know. And so he's building this fire up, and he's got this nice roaring fire. And they're sitting there talking. And while they're talking, and they're having a really good time, just talking and reminiscing. But he didn't even bring up, where have you been? He just being a friend, just loving on him. And pretty soon the fire started to die down, to the point where it was almost dying. And the guy says, you know, your fire's about ready to die down. And the pastor said, yeah, I know, I noticed it. I noticed that when all the logs were together, the fire was roaring, but now that they've sort of burned up and separated, they're not close to one another, the fire's dying. And he looks at the guy. The guy looks back at him and says, all right, I'll be there Sunday. He knew exactly what he was doing. It was an object lesson. He was trying to show him that you've lost it because you're not next to one another. And we kindle one another. We help one another. We spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need one another. You might not think you do, but your Creator thinks you do. I think He knows better than me or better than you. God wants us together because God wants a body. He wants the body of Christ to be alive and well and functioning on this earth. You know, there's no perfect church. If there was, none of us would be allowed to visit. We certainly wouldn't be able to join it because none of us are perfect. Isn't that true? But as imperfect as we are, God has still called us out of the darkness into His wonderful light. And He's brought us into a church that we might become His people, that we might become His body, that we might be led by His Spirit. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. If we're a Christian, we've been given the Holy Spirit. And we've been given that one Spirit to drink, and we've been baptized by that Spirit into the church. We've been brought into the church. When we are living as God intends us to live, all the universe, it says the heavens and the earth will recognize, and all the universe will see the power of God, the majesty of God, the authority of God, the beauty of God, the love of God in His glorious, victorious, powerful church. That's what God's looking for. We should be like a broadcast tower, broadcasting the love of God. It should just be going out front of us. When somebody walks in, they should pick up that signal. And I've heard that throughout the years when people have told me they've walked in here and they've felt the love of God. They felt the presence of God. They felt the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we want. Even more. Even more. And the more we commit ourselves to being a part of that, the more there will be for someone else to pick up on. We should be contagious Christians, infecting others with our love for God. If we're going to pass on some kind of infection, let it be the love of God, right? I've been infected with the love of God. If I could have the prayer team come forward, getting ready to close here. You know, I wanted to say what a privilege it is, and we should all feel this way, what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And in particular, I believe it's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ right here at Downriver Christian Community Church. I know for me, I count it a privilege. God loves this church. We're certainly far and away not the only church, and not the only good church. God's got His people all over the world. But God does love this church. And He loves us more than we could ever comprehend. Each one of us. And the more we realize it and see it and begin to allow ourselves to belong to all the other members, as we read, we're going to see greater and greater things happening. Our job now is to go out and share this love that we should have for one another and allow others to see this love and to share it wherever we go and whatever we do, always being willing to, you know, to let people know what we've got as we are led by the Holy Spirit. When somebody walks in that door for the first time, everybody in here should be thinking, man, I should go say hi to them. We should be wanting to share what God's got inside of us. When I'm out talking to somebody, like I'll just give an example. When I'm at the gym, I like to play racquetball. So I've been doing that, and every time I talk to somebody there, the first thing I say is, yeah, I come up here and I play racquetball with some guys from our church. And I just try to use that as an opening. I'm trying to get to know as many people there. And I've been going there for about a year now. And the more people, I got a couple people, hey, preacher, they call me preacher now. And, you know, stuff like that. That's great. I'm fine with that. I want them to know, you know, who I am, where I go. I want to let them know those kind of things and be able to, then when they ask questions, and a few of them are now. And I'm hoping, I know there's others here that do the same thing. I know Brian's up there. He's constantly talking to everybody. Brian Wilkerson, I don't know if he's up here right now, around here. But he's always, in fact, he's introduced me to a couple people there. And so we're like tag teaming a little bit now, some of the same guys. And, you know, I'm just looking for opportunities. And a great way to say is just to say something you're doing at church. It's not threatening. It's not that threatening just to say, yeah, a friend of mine from church. Oh, what church you go to? You know how many times I've heard that? And then there's your door. You just tell them where it is. You start explaining. You know, you start telling them, and you see how they pick it up. The Holy Spirit is a bodybuilder. Let's all be bodybuilders with him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your word, for your truth, Lord. We thank you for this church, Lord God. We thank you that you are building something here special, Lord God. Lord, we are proud of you, Lord God. We want to proclaim your glory to this world, Lord God. We are proud of your church here, Lord God, for this is your work. God, we do our part, but this is your church, Lord God. This is your work. And Lord, even though we are co-laboring with you, Lord God, we are working with you, we know that this is your church. And Lord, we're proud to be a part of your church, Lord God. Lord, bless this church. Bless every Bible-believing church, Lord God. Every church that truly loves and honors our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, do a great work in our church, in every member of this church, Lord God. Pour out your blessings here, Lord God. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.
Carrying farther than they know. Farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. The body.